Continue on this message with an extremely important subject, the security of every child of God. Are we secure forever because of Jesus' work, or can we lose our salvation? In the last tape, we quoted many, many scriptures to show beyond any shadow of doubt that if a believer is truly saved by the grace of God, cannot lose that salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 would tell us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We could expand on that a little bit to say it is by his unmerited favor through faith that you have been saved. It is not by anything that you have done. It is the gift of God. It is not the result of what anyone can do, so that no one can boast. This passage deals with the past tense of salvation. It is salvation from guilt, penalty, and judgment of sin. It has already been fully accomplished. It is not a process that is being carried on to be finished at a later time. It is done. Finish. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." The promise is sure because it is of faith. If it were of works, it would not be sure. People are always saying, "I must do my part, I must do my part." But if this were necessary, the promise could not be sure, because man might fail and would fail. But this verse tells us clearly it is of faith by grace. The result is that the promise is sure. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Galatians, the law demands absolute perfection, and this is impossible. If someone can lose their salvation by not keeping the law, then everyone would be lost. My friend, this is a contradiction of the Word of God. We are saved by grace, not by keeping the law, as we saw in a previous message. The Word of God also teaches that there is no condemnation, no judgment for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. The literal reading of John chapter 3, verse 18 is this: "Whoever trusts in Him, Jesus, is never to come up for judgment, but whoever does not trust in Him has already received his sentence, because he has not trusted in the name of God's only Son." John chapter 10, verse 28, which we have already quoted in the last message, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages, to all eternity. They shall never by any means be destroyed, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand." Now, my friends, this is an amazing and wonderful verse. They shall never perish. In the original Greek language in which the Bible was written, this is even stronger. They shall never, never, positively never perish ever. This is almost beyond the understanding of the human mind. The Word of God says, "No one can snatch them from my hand. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand." If I was standing in front of you right now, what I would do would be to remove a biro from my pocket. You can see the biro. I'm holding it in my hands now, and I'm going to place it on the table in front of me. I'm going to ask you a question. You see this biro? Do you think that I can make it stand on its point, up on its end? Have you answered that question now? My answer is yes. I can make it stand on its point. You say that is impossible. No, watch. I will take the biro very firmly, very strongly, in one hand. I will grip it with my fist. And now I will take my other hand, my right hand, and I will grip the biro with that hand. So I am holding it very strongly with two hands. And now I am placing it with its point on the table. You see it standing on its point? I said I could make it stand on its point. You say, well, let it go. My friend, I did not say I was going to let it go. Did God say he was going to let you go? Did God say he was going to save you by his grace and then let you go? Of course you would fall. Of course you would fall. You would fall every time. You would fall over and over again, and you would, in fact, be totally and eternally lost forever with no hope of salvation. There would be no one in heaven. We would all be lost if any part of our salvation depended on our own works. No, my friend, God saves us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps us. He holds us in his hand. Jesus, the Son, holds us in his hand. Just as I have gripped this biro with two hands, and I am not going to let it go, and it will stand on its point because I am holding it with two hands. God holds us with two hands. When I give you a gift, if you want to show me honor and respect, when you receive that gift, you will receive it with two hands. To receive a gift properly, it must be received with the right hand. To receive it with great honor and respect, you will hold out two hands to receive it. God holds us with two hands. He places such value upon us, and he will never let us go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 says that we wait for his Son Jesus from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. This is stated as an already accomplished fact. Has the wrath of God, the anger of God, fallen on this world yet? No, it has not. It will fall on this world. There will be terrible judgment and anger from God on the world and on those in it who have not accepted Christ as their Savior. But this verse, which we have just read, tells us clearly that God has already saved us from that. How then could I be lost? The Word of God also teaches that we have a sure and positive knowledge of our salvation. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says this, I write this to you who believe, trust in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have life, yes, eternal life. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 would tell us clearly, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Only one who is eternally secure could truly know that, as this verse says, his labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 says, Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. This verse speaks of the fact that Jesus shall raise us up as sure knowledge. Paul knows that this will happen, not only to himself, but also to the believers to whom he was writing. Is such knowledge possible if we could lose our salvation at all? Listen to the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anybody is in Christ, he is the work of a new creation. The old condition has passed away. A new condition has come. Now, a creation is something that is made. It does not make itself, and it cannot change itself into something else. Therefore, since everyone who is in Christ is a new creation, he cannot change himself into something else, and he cannot kill the new creation and raise it again. If a truly saved believer can be lost and saved again, this would have to happen. Many times I have seen pigs rolling around in the mud in Canada and in Africa. Now, it is possible that a creature, an animal, like a pig, may be taught some tricks, may be taught to do certain things. But when it has the opportunity to do so, it will return to its old condition of rolling in the mud. And the Bible tells us this. Just like a dog may return to eat its own vomit. But if we were to take that pig and make it into a new creature, a new creation with a new nature, then that pig could not and would not return to its old habits, because it would be completely a new creature. And so those verses in the Word of God that speak about a pig or a dog returning to its old condition do not refer to real believers at all. It is understandable that a creature who has been brought into a new environment or who has been taught new tricks will sometimes return to its old habits and way of life, because its nature is still the same. But a true believer has a new nature. He is in Christ. And so those verses certainly do not apply to a believer in Jesus Christ. I can completely understand how the raven sent out by Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verse 7, did not return to the ark. He did not need to return. Everywhere was food for his raven nature. He was like a vulture, which we see many times in Africa. He could eat and eat everything he wished. The whole surface of the water was covered with dead bodies, dead in the flood. Again, I can understand why the dove did return to the ark in Genesis 8, verses 8 and 9. He could not eat those dead bodies. He did not love that dead meat. He must return to the ark. Many men who simply profess to be converted to Christianity can go out into the world and be satisfied to stay there like the vulture or the raven. He still has that old vulture-raven nature. He can feast upon sin. However, one who is truly converted has a nature which has been changed. He is a new creature. He may go into sin. Led by Satan, he may go far astray. He, however, will never be happy there. He will never be satisfied. Like the dove, he will find no genuine rest. His new nature will revolt against that sin. He will always come back. You could take a vulture and feed it leaves and feed it grass and put it in a small wooden cage like the small birds that we see being sold in the market. But when it is released, it will always go back to its old vulture way of eating dead and rotting meat, because you have not changed its nature. But when the man or woman comes to Jesus Christ for salvation and has his nature changed, he may still test and sample sometimes the old ways, but he can never fully return to them. He can never be lost, because he is a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen more while we speak of the glorious fact that we are sons of God by new birth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 tells us, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever." Incorruptible means that it cannot die. That is the meaning of the word. It can never quench. It can never quench. A human being is born a human being and cannot, by his free will, make himself into a dog, even though he may want to be one. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh, according to John chapter 3 and verse 6. A born-again believer cannot, by exercising his own will, make himself into something else. A truly born-again believer would not really want to be anything else. Can a vulture change himself into a weaver bird? Can a weaver bird change himself into a vulture? No. When God makes the change for us, it is done by God's power. And who would pretend to be greater than God? Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 say, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, sons of God, heirs of God, children of God, joint heirs with Christ. Will the Father disinherit us if we had been taken into his family because of something that we had done to gain favor with him? He might. But Christ, his own beloved Son, did everything for us. It was for Jesus' sake that we were taken into the family of God. While Jesus Christ is true to us, there cannot be any disinheritance. If our position in God's family fails, and we can be lost after we have been saved, then either God the Father or Jesus Christ the Son will have to fail. A thought of blasphemy, a thought of blasphemy. My beloved Christian friend, do not think such a thing for a moment, that either God the Father or Jesus Christ, God the Son, could fail in this thing. No, my friend, as long as we are in the family of God and heirs with Christ, there can be no failure on God's part. Amen. Let us think of another reason why our salvation can never fail. It is because we are already enrolled as citizens of heaven. Is it possible that God made a mistake in registering me as a citizen of heaven? If I could lose my salvation, then he did make a mistake. God make a mistake? What are you thinking, my friend, if such a thought is yours? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Present possession of it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a citizen of Canada. I travel on a passport with my photo on it from the country of Canada. And you are a citizen of Nigeria, or Ghana, or Malawi, or Zimbabwe, or Kenya. In God's country, heaven, once we have gained citizenship, we nowhere read in the Word of God that we can in any way lose that citizenship. Let us look to the future now. Is there any doubt as to what God will perform for us in the future? Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by our works. No, by his blood we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and we have seen that he does from Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that does dwell in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. To the very end, listen well, he will guarantee that you are vindicated, that you are cleared absolutely, totally, and completely from all guilt or judgment or condemnation at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He guarantees it. Read again 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. If you are listening to this in a prison facility in Africa, suppose the warden of the prison came to you and said, I guarantee that there will be no judgment, no condemnation, no sentence for you. I guarantee that you are a free man. You would like to trust that warden's word. You would like to trust the superintendent of prison's word, the governor of the state, perhaps Babangida, perhaps Kamuzu Banda, perhaps J.J. Rawlings. Someone has given you his guarantee that you will be a free man with no judgment. My friend, God has given his guarantee. How could you think that you could spoil God's guarantee because of something that you did? There is no uncertainty here. We know what the future holds. Again, we are kept by God, not by ourselves. The scriptures clearly teach that salvation from the penalty of sin is a gift of God. We cannot earn it. We can only, in faith, accept it. God will keep us. If salvation is of God and He says that He will keep us, then He will. For us to lose our salvation would mean that God had failed. Never. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I have to confess to you that many times I have failed. Some of you have sent me a letter, and I have failed in responding to that. Perhaps I have promised to visit you in a certain prison or a certain hospital or a certain school or a certain Christian group in Africa, and because of circumstances that I could not control, I was unable to fulfill that promise. I failed in my promise. But is God a human being? Is God a man that He should fail? No, the Word of God tells us that not one thing has failed of all His promises, and not one thing ever will fail, and He has promised to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 would tell us so clearly. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Why should God be for us enough to save us when we were undeserving sinners going to hell and then turn against us after we are His born-again children? Would He have paid such a price if He knew beforehand that He would not and could not keep us? God has already paid the supreme price. He spared not His own Son. Will He not now freely give us all things? We have already considered Hebrews 7, 24 to 25, but let me mention it again. This man, Jesus, continues ever an unchangeable priesthood. He is able to save them to the uttermost, to the completion, completely, forever, perfectly, finally, for all time and eternity, those that come to God by Him, seeing He always lives to make intercession for them. Praise the Lord for these wonderful, wonderful truths. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, the God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they have been given. He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives grace or to whom He sends His call. Remember, eternal life is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. Righteousness is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And this verse, Romans 11:29, tells us that He will never take those gifts back. Do not call God a liar by accusing Him of allowing you to lose your salvation. The Christians at Corinth were carnal, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. They were fornicators, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. They were fighting with each other, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. They were going to the law against each other, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 6. There were divisions among them, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that same chapter, it tells us that Jesus Christ shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How could this be? Does God overlook sin? Never. Does God deal with sin in the life of the believer? Absolutely. Is a believer, a real Christian, not responsible to live a godly and holy life? Most surely, and we will see all of this in our next Bible study, but it does not take him from the hands of God. He is secure in Jesus Christ. Amen.